each of our lives inside. Either in traffic, at work, or close eyes. How about we all agree that it's way overdue to take back our lives? I can work wherever now. You can work wherever now. Take your guard and let it down. Cause you can work wherever now. Take your guard and let it down.
What's up, guys? Welcome into the Work Wherever podcast. This is the podcast where we talk about AI, automation, the ability to work wherever, so you can live every day like it is Saturday. I am your guide here, Roy Edwards, and it's a pleasure to be speaking to you again. We're on a little brief hiatus there to make sure we could get a few things accomplished. I flew out to a couple different client locations, visited my friends down there in Raleigh, North Carolina. Had plans to go up to New York as well to speak at a conference. So there was a few different things that I was going through and took me away from you guys. So I apologize for that, but we're back on schedule now. And this is going to be a Roy's Rant episode, which means I'm by myself. We got three other flavors of the podcast that we present here. The other would be Homegrown with Haley, which we have a couple of those that will be dropping soon. That's my wife and I, where we talk about homeschooling. It's more of a lifestyle podcast. It's how we take the principles and things that we share with you all on the show, like the Work Wherever methodologies, apply them to our lives so that you can get a taste of what it all means to be on the other side, which we did do. We did go snowboarding recently, and we used a homeschool discount at one of the resorts, the ski resorts, which was basically like a 4-for-1, which was pretty cool. So we went there, bought the lift ticket, which included a rental as well, and which I didn't need a rental, but it did include. We bought three of those, and it gave us 4 days of skiing. We only went for two, but for the other kids that we didn't do it for, we had to pay for rentals and lift tickets for both days. Is actually way more expensive to do it that way. So next time we know, just use the homeschooling discount for the whole family. Reason why we didn't, which we'll get into on a whole podcast. We didn't know how the kids would take to skiing for their first time, but maybe Haley and I will have to sit down and we'll talk about lessons learned from taking the whole family skiing on a homegrown episode. The other two episodes that we have are the Cruise the Internet ones. Those are the internet hotspots where we talk about trending news articles, technology trends, things that are releasing and how they might be applied. And then we have full episodes where we have a guest come on. We usually do about those once a month. We haven't done one of those in the new year yet, but we have a couple of them planned. So today's episode is a Roy's Rant episode, and I'm going to go over CRMs and the big myths surrounding CRMs. I have one big myth, but I figured that as going through this process, I've had more people come to me this year around CRMs, and by this year, so our new year started in October. So since October, so November, December, January, February, 4 months. The last 4 months, I've had more people asking about CRMs than in the last, five, 6 years of doing business. It seems to be a very big topic of discussion these days as organizations are starting to grow. There's more knowledge and information about CRMs out there on the web. So first off, what a CRM is a customer relationship management system. And so it's a way that you can compile all of your information and track different business processes, information. It's mostly utilized in sales organizations. So if you're a salesman listening and you're like, we use a CRM, we use Salesforce or we use HubSpot or something along those lines. Those are CRMs. It's how we are managing the customer relationship. Usually, I'll say, or how it has been propped up is in the customer acquisition process. That's not the only time it can be used, but that is the biggest use case that has been most widely spread. So in these conversations, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do an episode on this because a lot of people are asking the same questions. I'm seeing the same kind of errors being had. And this is something I've done for a long time. So CRMs, I've built CRMs for, 10, 12 years in Microsoft. So it's, you know, from customer service management to customer acquisition to historical archives of account management. I've done this a lot, resource management. So CRMs, I'm pretty well versed in CRMs, and I figured that I would just go ahead and address some of the myths. So I have three common myths, and I got a really big one that I'll drop here at the end. But the first common myth that you see is that CRM systems are only for sales teams. I touched on that in the beginning to say that the sales acquisition process, the customer acquisition process of guiding a customer from they know nothing about me to they are signing on the dotted line, that is that customer acquisition journey. That's the majority of how we see CRMs, right? It's like, okay, this person is in onboarding. This person is in, I've sent them the quote. I have produced, I have sent them the final proposal, and here's all the information about they want. That is like as old as time. That's the way that CRMs have most publicly been utilized. Everyone's like, oh, I need a CRM. I need Salesforce because of the customer acquisition process. But that's not the only way you can use a CRM. In fact, that's a huge myth that CRMs are only for the sales cycle. It's just kind of the most common use for the CRM. And it's just simply not true that that's the only use. So systems, while CRM systems can be used for that process, that's not the only reason why they exist. They could, it's not just managing leads, opportunities, and all this other stuff, right? It could be used by the marketing department to manage campaigns, to be managing drip campaigns and track leads and measure ROI that way. It can be used as support teams for ticket management, like I talked about with customer support, how I built those. Just about any department can utilize a CRM. We've built audits systems for the delivery and development teams for federal organizations where they use a CRM for the development and deployment of an audit system to say, okay, the audit has begun and this is the current phase of that audit. And here's the current to see the audit from beginning to close. CRMs can be utilized in any area of your business that includes a process. If there is a process with a clear beginning and end, you can have a CRM for it. Because a CRM is really just a business process data modeling system. And by data modeling, I mean taking information and making it look and function the way you want it to. If there's a clear beginning and end, there's a funnel, if there's a process map, if there is a start and an end, you can build a CRM for it. And you should build a CRM for it in tracking that information. Which leads me to myth number two. You're like, well, if I should be building this, Roy, that sounds relatively expensive. No, it's not. In fact, CRM systems are not expensive and they're not complex. There's a lot of them out there. That's a pretty common myth that CRMs have to be expensive and then they have to be extremely complex and you have to hire some big implementer and you got to pay all this money and you got to do all that crazy stuff. That is a couple of big players in the market taking advantage of your dollars. That's what that is. So while it may have been true in the past to say that the CRMs were super expensive and they were going to take years of development or to implement, there are so many cloud-based platforms out there now that you can utilize, enhance, do all kinds of fun things within your organization to build a CRM. And then many CRM vendors, they'll be flexible with pricing models to make it easy so that you can scale up or down. So like HubSpot, for instance, they have base level, and then you can move up the tier. CRM Dynamics. You have something called model-driven apps that if you buy a power platform license within Microsoft 365, you could build a base model-driven application for relatively nothing. So there are multiple ways you can get in. Now, the customization of it, how customized you want the application, can get expensive, I guess, if you will. But gone are the days of like hundreds of thousands of dollars of implementation. Are you still going to find those? Yeah, because a lot of businesses have built their entire business model on that. But that's not to say that's your only option. So just get that out of your head. And you should be asking those questions when you are going shopping for a CRM to say, how much is this going to cost? What's the implementation process look like? What is it that you're actually going to be doing as you're going through this process? Because there's a lot of companies out there, Salesforce, HubSpot, who want to charge you big money. They make money off of the implementation. So be careful, buyer beware. But that doesn't mean that it has to be expensive or complex. The third myth here is CRM systems are only for large organizations. That's simply not true. This used to be the case because of myth two, whereas they were expensive, the implementations took a long time, and you had to sit down with these huge enterprise organizations and flush everything out, and that's where the money was, right? But now, because CRMs are so readily accessible to organizations of all sizes, then this has opened the door for small and mid-sized businesses to have CRMs and to have customer relationship and automations and sales and marketing processes that flow within a tracking system. Many CRM vendors, whether that's a SaaS platform or whether you're building your own, they're going to offer solutions. They're going to offer levels, they're going to offer you something that is available for the small business. It might not have all the bells and whistles, but to be totally honest, you don't need all the bells and whistles. If you're a small business and you're using Salesforce, then what the hell is wrong with you? Salesforce was not built for the small business, and you're going to be overpaying for maybe using 5% of the product. So Salesforce, and I'm not trying to jump on Salesforce and just totally just rip them here, but Salesforce implementations are, you have the small to mid-sized business who wants to be a big player in the game. And so they go out and they look for these huge CRMs because that's what the big guy's doing. And they're like, well, in order to be a big guy, I got to buy what the big guy has. And so they go out and they buy Salesforce, and then they don't have the money to spend on the actual implementation and the customization and actually building the thing. So they just buy the product, put it into play. And the system really doesn't do a whole lot if you don't manipulate it and go through the implementation process. So you're stuck with this really high bill. And then your Salesforce rep is going to change because they're getting promotions and they're going to be helping the big guys through the implementations. And you're going to be left on an island. And then when you actually get to the point where you're like, you know what? I'm going to sit down and we're going to get this Salesforce thing figured out because we're paying for it. Okay, well, now that other sales rep is no longer there and you got pushed to this other sales rep and they have to totally relearn what you're doing and who you are and why you exist and why'd you buy it in the first place. And next thing you know, it's 6, 8, 12 months later and you haven't done anything with your CRM. Don't do that as a small business. As a small business, you should be purchasing a SaaS platform, a ready-made CRM, and then just breaking it. And then when you break it, you move up. And then when you break it, you move up. And then when you break that one, you move up. And you move CRMs that way. If you are totally new to the CRM game, there's nothing wrong with going with the cheapest option first. Because, so I'll give you an example of this. My dad has boats, right? So I've grown up around boats my entire life. My dad, my dad was a commodore of a yacht club, like, not to sound like too bougie or anything like that, but I've grew up around boats. My grandfather had boats. My dad has boats. My brother has a boat. I grew up in the water. And my dad, when I was looking for my first boat a couple of years ago, my dad was like, buy the cheapest or just get on a boat. Because whatever it is that you buy, you're going to realize what you actually want after you get on a boat and use a boat. So get on as many boats as you can. Buy like a beater boat or a starter boat or something like that that you're going to buy in cash or something that you can afford. And then, because once you get on that boat, you're going to realize, well, this is what I'm actually using the boat for. So it got to the point where I was like, okay, well, I want this like sleeper pocket yacht type boat. That's what I thought I wanted, right? I was like, I want one that has the deck and, you know, out front, and you can lay on it and you walk in, there's a kitchen and bedroom and a bathroom. And this is what I want. And he was like, maybe you do. But until you get on any boat, you're not going to know what is actually applicable for you and your family. So imagine you just spent, you know, some of them are expensive, really expensive. So let's say you buy, I mean, I was looking at used ones for between like $30,000, $40,000. Okay. But let's say you buy one used for, you know, north of $100,000. And you get on that boat and you realize, I can't really ski off this thing. And in fact, that's all I really want to do. Oh, and also, I can't really go into the shallow waters that are around me that I actually want to explore. So now you have this really big paycheck or a bill rather, and you're not actually able to do what you want to do with it. So instead you buy a smaller boat and build your way up, and you can always sell that boat and do all other things. After all, boat stands for break out another thousand. I don't know what CRM could stand for, cash ready machine. I don't know. But if you buy the biggest CRM, you are going to realize that you can't actually do with it what you want to do with it and what's most important for your organization, your business process. And you're going to realize that through a really big bill. So why not make your bill a little bit smaller, break the process, break the CRM, and get to a point where you can build within it? Because let's face it, if you got nothing right now, anything that you bring into your business is probably going to be better so long as you document your processes. So those are the three big myths there. My big overarching thing here is don't build a custom CRM. Don't go out and hire some software engineer for, you know, $100,000, $200,000 who wants to build you from scratch in Angular and is a full stack developer. And that is a total waste of money. I mean, if you have visions of building this CRM for resell within an organization where you're like, we want to build a custom CRM so that when we go through the acquisition process of selling this thing, that they're buying this licensed CRM as a part of the organization, then okay, I can understand that use case. But if that's not your goal and you're just like, no, I just need a CRM that can manage our business, then go get one of these web services that are out there. Dynamics 365 is a great example of this, which is a model-driven application within Microsoft 365. So if you have Power Apps, which go to make.powerapps.com, go there. And if you see that you can create a model-driven app, guess what? You can create a CRM. Break that. Build with that. If you have a software engineer, have them use that. Otherwise, you're going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on a resource that's going to spend hundreds of thousands extra dollars in code, technical debt, and all this other stuff that you're going to build up, APIs and all this fun stuff, only for the internet to change its mind in 6-12 months. And then you're going to have to redo it again. And you're going to get stuck in this giant cycle of development. And that developer that you have on staff, they're going to be happy, but you're never actually going to deploy anything. And you're going to end up with just a really big bill. I see this happen so much. And it is usually a product of somebody in charge who just is too stubborn to really see what they actually need. They have too much of an ego in them where they're saying, well, I want to do it because I will know what we want, or our process is so unique that we need this. No, it's not. Your business is not that unique. Your business does not have the amount of problems that you think it does. You just don't. A company business process are generally the same. Somebody who says that, oh, well, our processes are unique, our problems are unique, those people have never actually sat down and mapped out the actual process. They might think it in their head, they might know it in their head, but they haven't actually drawn it out into a process map. This is start, this is end. Because if you do, if you do that, then you can understand that the processes are actually not that big of a deal, right? Qualify, propose, quote, finalize, signature, invoice, close, right? You might be like, oh, well, there's so much more to it. Like what? Take those swim lanes and document it. And that's called customizations. Just about every CRM on the market can do that. Just about every CRM, model-driven application, web service can do anything that your software engineer can do. There's a reason why. And so this is another thing that I get. Well, how come developers are making so much money at Twitter and Facebook? Because they're building a large multi-server social media network that requires millions of lines of code and is updated constantly. That's not what you're doing. You're building a small CRM that is 1/1000th the performance, 1/1000000th the performance of a Facebook, 1/1000000000th the performance of Facebook. You're building a Ritz cracker compared to the farmer's market that is those big guys. So stop fooling yourself. And if you work with anybody or you have anybody that you work with that thinks that, oh, well, no, we have to build it ourselves, just ask them why. And if chances are, they don't have a good answer. And if the answer doesn't include so that when somebody purchases us and acquires us, they have the licensing to a specific CRM as a as an asset, then their answer is irrelevant. Because because this is, you get into this conversation with AI so much now too, is where people are like, well, there isn't an AI out there that does what I want it to do. So I don't want to build, I don't want to have my own AI, or I don't want to use ChatGPT. Okay, but that's a software as a service. That's a tool that somebody else has. You see that with CRMs where people are like, oh, I don't want to buy one of the industry specific CRMs like AccuLynx or HubSpot or something like that. It doesn't do what I want it to do. So therefore I have to build my own. No, there are toolboxes that you can build. AI, it's like, well, no, I have to code my own AI. Why? OpenAI, ChatGPT runs on Microsoft Azure. So you can go into the Azure playground and train your own bot. Why do you think you have to learn JSON and Python? But it's so yin and yang with business leaders out there who just have such little to no understanding of tech web services that they think that they either have to buy somebody else's software where they own all the data, or they have to build from scratch, that there's no other option. Yes, there is. Maybe there's no other option because you're using a crappy platform like Google. Maybe that's why. If you're using Google, then you're SOL. If you're running a real business and you're running on Google, you need to reevaluate your organization. Because there are likely not the compliance, not the security, not the enterprise regulations, not the CRM availability, not the business process mapping. There's really nothing in the Google suite except that it's easy to use and it's easy to get into. In Microsoft, the world runs on Microsoft. And if you argue that, then I can't help you. But within the Microsoft world, there's Power Automate, which is better than Zapier. And if you're using Google, you have to use Zapier, which is like $15 a month, $20 a month. Okay, well, you cut that and use Power Automate, which is a native application in Microsoft. Okay, well, I don't know if you guys ever used Looker, but it's crap in Google. Power BI is way better than Looker. Okay. Power apps and model-driven apps and CRM dynamics exist within Microsoft. You're using your own data. You're using your own processes. You're on your own tools. What's in there in Google? There isn't one. Okay. SharePoint. They have pages in Google, but the Google Pages is crap. Like it doesn't do half of the things that SharePoint can do. Oh, but Gmail is so easy to use. If that's all you're using it for, then go right ahead. But if you want to build a real business with real CRM, real customer management, real compliance, real security, a real organization that's going to scale and grow, then using Google that is, you're using a tackle box with a hammer and a screwdriver and calling it a toolbox. So guys, hopefully you got a lot out of this. If you have any questions, hit us up. Go to capitalpresence.com. Reach out to us. We'd love to talk to you. If you want to have us out to your location, we're doing that now. We're doing probably about one fly out a month. I don't really want to do much more than that. Maybe it'll be every one or two months, but I try not to load them up. So there's only 10 months left in the year. So that means I'm only taking up, you know, 9-ish flyouts for the rest of the year. So if you want to be one of those 9, go to capitalpresence.com, reach out to us, and we can fly out. We can have a conversation about how we can organize your business a little better. Thanks for hanging out, guys. Until next time, see you.
Well, guys, thanks so much for watching and or listening. We have had a great time. Hope you did too. You can find all of the Work Wherever podcast episodes here on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, or all of your major streaming platforms, with new episodes dropping every Monday. Make sure to follow us at Capital Presence on all social platforms to stay up to date with the things all Work Wherever related. See you next week.